It's Tuesday, September 7th, 2010. This is Wendy Erickson. I'm a librarian at the Parchment Community Library. I'm doing an oral history this morning with John Aube, A-U-B-E. So, John, when and where were you born?
I was born in California way back in 1927. And my father and mother decided to come back. They started in Michigan. I was born in California. They came back to Michigan. They stayed in Allegan to start with, but first of all, we lived on Keys Drive, Parchment, also on Riverview Drive, and on a place called Oak Grove in Parchment. Those are the places we did live.
Can you tell me the house number on Keys Drive?
No, I can tell you no house numbers of the places where I lived in Parchment. Okay. That's been many, many moons ago.
Okay. Are you married?
My late wife's name was Marilyn Brink Aube.
All right. Was she from here?
She was from not Parchment, Kalamazoo, though. And her father started the first bakery called JB's Bakery way back around 1900. 1910 in that area, and on the history of Kalamazoo, it's in there under J.B. Bakery or J. Brinks.
I see. Do you have any kids?
I have two daughters. One daughter is sitting here. Her name is Julie Aube McDougall, and she is from a place called Queen Creek, and she has the largest mini horse ranch in the state of Arizona. At this time, she just went from 110 mini horses down to 65. And I have another daughter called Kathleen Joan Davis. She lives in Chandler, right outside of Phoenix. And she teaches school at a place called Mesa Community College. Both of my daughters graduated from Arizona State.
Okay, what are your parents' names?
My mother's maiden name was Anna Vanderveer. She was from Allegan. My father's name was John Aube, and he was from Chicagoland.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister whose name is Eva Lorraine Aube Cunningham, and she worked at the Parchment Credit Union, which is now First Community, I believe, for 36 years. Correct.
Okay.
And she lives in Parchment on Glendale.
She does. She does. What's your earliest recollection of Parchment?
My earliest recollection of Parchment is when I was very small, they had a place called the Parchment Community House on Riverview Drive, not too far from this place. And my mother was a school teacher for years, but she also started me going to the Parchment Community Church and Sunday school and so forth. And I have a New Testament given to me by Jacob Kindleberger in 1935. And they used to give pins out to go on lapels for men, and I got one and I went there for 12 years without missing a time, and that was 1945. That was my last year in high school there, and I had to go in the Navy, World War II.
Okay. You went in and did you come back here after your service?
I came back, not to Parchment, but a place called Mount Olivet Road, which is just down Riverview Drive from here.
Right.
And I stayed there until 1949, when I did get married. And then I moved to Austin Street, which is next to Walwood Hall on Oakland Drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I moved to a very beautiful place called Gull Lake, and I lived there for years. And my daughters, I had them water skiing at the age of 7.
Sure.
Around the lake. And then from there, we got tired of the snow, and we moved to a place called Tucson, Arizona, which I like very well.
Did you go to Parchment schools?
I went to Parchment School the first 3-4 years of my life. And to add to that,
was that grade school?
Grade school back
grade
about
school.
1932, 33, 34, 35.
Do you remember teachers? Any
sure.
teachers?
A gentleman by the name of George McDonald was up there. Ken Roos was there. And a young lady by the name of Hofacker was her last name. Mrs. Hofacker was my teacher. Those are the three that I remember right now.
Okay. Did you have fun here? Did you enjoy growing
I enjoyed parchment, and during the Depression, where we moved, we had a little garden, and I would knock door-to-door selling vegetables at the age of 9 in parchment.
You did. You did. I know that we've talked to other people who said gardening was a big deal during the Depression, especially. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What was your, what, do you remember your first house on Keys?
Yes. I'll tell you what it was. It was a very nice little house, about 2 bedrooms. And that house was something like the days of Lincoln. You pumped your own water by hand in the kitchen with a pitcher pump, and all the facilities were outdoors. And
sure.
Yes, I always will remember that.
Sure, sure. How about the second house you lived in on was after Keys Drive, where the second
we
place
moved
you lived in?
Someplace by the old mill. They used to have 4 or 5 houses on Riverview Drive.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you addresses, but we lived there a very short time because my father liked to move from place to place.
He did.
And but during that time, he still worked at a place called Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment. He put in 38 years and left in 1966.
Do you know all the jobs he might have done there? Did he ever?
He was in charge of the parchment finishing department, and you know, would know many people, and a lot of the people that worked for him were baseball players for KVP.
Oh, the sports
and
teams.
I love sports, and yes, I right.
Sure. Yeah, the sports were a big deal there.
Oh, they used to. The biggest deal was when they would play KVP and Sutherland Paper Company would play each other over here in the park at Kindleberger Park.
Yeah.
And furthermore, Jacob Kindleberger used to get the Chicago Cubs and different teams that would come in and play.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in 1942, he got an American hero to come here and talk. His name was Jimmy Doolittle. He led the Doolittle Raiders in April of 1942. Jacob Kindleberger offered him a wristwatch. He said that was his job and he wouldn't take it.
I have not heard that story from anyone. You're the first to share that. Thank you so much. People will be very, very interested to hear that. Did he talk in an auditorium, in the community
house? No, he talked
house,
at the, they filled
outside.
The old baseball park with him when he came on the 4th of July in that year. He came in 1942 because leading the Raiders after December the 7th of 41
right.
made him a big hero
right.
in America. And yes.
Well, and I suppose it was packed.
The place was absolutely packed. And when Jacob Kindleberger had a 4th of July celebration with fireworks, everybody from all over this area came, and the place was absolutely packed.
Wow. Yeah, that must have been pretty exciting.
Yes, very exciting.
Very exciting. Do you remember a lot of any people who, any of the business people that worked, had businesses in downtown Parchment? Did Bob Belisle have a store then? Or
Bob Belisle, I did know him, yes. And I've been gone for quite a few years, but they used to have a grocery store called Ralston and Phillips. And I will always remember that because the majority of the people would buy food today and pay for their bill of last week. They charged for 1 week
they
along
did.
The line. That was a grocery store. I think it went out in about 1945.
Do you know where it was?
Yes,
where?
In the old part of Parchment. And where the old stoplight, I cannot tell. Parchment,
uh-huh.
I think it is.
Parchment.
And then if you keep on going, the group of stores on one side of the street, and the last one was called Ralston and Phillip for years.
Okay.
And across the street was called the Hudson Manor, built by a man called Art Hudson. And he had a son called Nick. And Nick used to ride his horse around Parchment all the time.
Really?
And yes, that's called, I think, the Parchment Manor now. It could be right.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, all my time in Parchment and the surrounding areas was beautiful.
Fabulous. Do you remember your neighbors?
Sure, I can remember. The house on Keys Drive, one of my neighbors was the Chatterton family, and Joe
Chatterton,
and
sure.
Harold, his brother, and Jim was another one, and in my age limit, Joe's a little bit older than I am, let's see, by about 7 years.
Okay.
But, yes. And when we lived next door to Mr. Chatterton, my mother was a school teacher in Pullman, and we would take her to teach on Sunday evening and picked her up on Friday. That was during basically the depression had just started and so forth.
So she stayed there?
Oh, I would see her during vacations and so forth. And
really?
Right. But also during the depression in Parchment, the number one man that fed everybody, his name was Jacob Kindleberger, then came Franklin Roosevelt, and then really came God, okay?
Sure. Did you know Mr. Kindleberger, or just from seeing him at events?
I would see this gentleman around, and I always went to baseball games. I like it, and so forth. But he would always walk around. He had a big dog, and there used to be a tree on the old baseball field, way out in the field, and that dog would drink water because they had a little drinking fountain around the bottom of the big fountain, and he had a beautiful big dog. Can't tell you exactly what it was right now, but it was a beautiful dog, and he was always elegantly dressed.
He was.
Mr. Kindleberger was elegantly dressed all the time.
All the time. All the time. Let's talk about some more things around your family life. Besides, you sold vegetables. Was that your job in the family?
That
was like a family
chore for you? When I was 9 years old,
you?
I started selling vegetables, and then I liked it pretty well. My father had, they called them victory gardens back at that time.
Sure.
And we lived next to a gentleman called Oscar Hunt, who started at Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment approximately 1920, and he retired about 1958, and he was an assistant superintendent. And the number one man was a gentleman called Mr. McMillan, and he was a superintendent in the area of the finishing department. My father was a foreman in the parchment finishing department for many, many years.
Okay. Did you get an allowance for selling vegetables?
My allowance was if I had the ability to sell, I could keep all the money. And I found out at that time, if I wanted to, the one of the stores in downtown Parchment was called Shriner's Drugstore back then. It went to Clark's. What the name is today, I do not know. But to go with that, I found out that if I wanted to have two hot fudge sundaes, I had to sell twice as much as I did for one. And that's the way it went.
Kind of an incentive to keep selling two hot fudge sundaes. What was your best subject in school?
My best subject in school, I'm going to call this a subject, was sports, okay?
What did you play?
I played basically football, and way back in 1944, I made all-city at tackle, and I went to Western Dash State High, then I went to Western after I got out of the service. I was in the Navy twice, in the middle 40s and in the early 50s.
You were. Okay. Do you remember any hot issues around Parchment, or just hot political stuff when you were
I think
young?
About 1939, 1940, I believe a union tried to get into the mill, and of course my father was a foreman, and things were sort of uncomfortable at that time. And the biggest thing I remember about that time was people were sort of depressed because of the depression, and the people would sit on the front of Jacob Kindleberger's beautiful yard he had by his house, and the Seventh-day Adventist people every noon would talk to different people back in the 30s and 40s, right? Because if we wanted to drive an automobile, my mother would bring my father to work in the morning and pick him up in the evening, and that's how we had a car in the daytime.
Yeah. That's interesting. And you went to the church, was it the Methodist Church?
Yeah, Parchment Methodist Church. Today it's on Glendale.
Hall. Yeah.
And that's the same church that was at a big, beautiful community house right here.
Right.
And I liked it very well.
Did you go to some of the events they had there? Didn't they have a big Christmas party?
Oh, we always had a big Christmas party. I went to almost all the events because I liked most of the all the instructors I liked, not most, but all the instructors. And like I said, George McDonald, that worked for this school, I guess, for 30 years or thereabouts. He ran the Parchment School, Ken Roos and company. They were always heavily involved. Man like Mr. Hayward was deeply involved back then, and a man called Mr. Southen was deeply involved. And Mr. Southen was a sales manager, I understand, and Mr. Hayward came from the University of Michigan, and he was the president of KVP at that time.
Yes, that's right. Were you ever mentioned in the newspaper in Parchment? Just curious.
I have two Parchment newspapers that Jacob Kindleberg used to put out. One of them that I was saved for years, 1934, and in that 1934, it tells about our next door neighbor, Oscar Hunt, that lost a finger down near the finishing room. And the other one told when my father became foreman and got a big article on my father, John Aubey Sr., because he had about 80 people that worked for him in the finishing department, and many of the older clientele remember his name and remember him.
Sure. Oh, great. Great keep. Those are great keepsakes. Can you describe a typical family dinner?
Yes, my mother was a fantastic cook, and we would have the potatoes. See, back at that time, people didn't worry about calories and protein and carbohydrates and so forth. They ate food. It was called food. And I was taught to be a clean plater. But as you become older, clean platers have larger waists. But anyway, yes, meat and potatoes and bread and so forth. My mother could bake bread, and we liked it very well. Food.
Mm-hmm. Food.
Again, the only time I eat is when I'm awake.
Okay. Do you remember, how did you celebrate the holidays? Were there a big deal in your family?
Not such a big deal. Holidays, every 4th of July, we'd always come down here to Kindleberger Park, that beautiful ball field, and so forth, because they always had something special going on when Jacob Kindleberger was alive. A gentleman by the name of Don McDowell used to put on big orchestras and he had a lot of band, a lot of music, and so forth. And for years and years, he was employed with KVP. He was the employment manager, I understand, years ago. Right.
So you'd have, Christmas was a big deal.
Oh, Christmas.
Easter was a big deal.
Big, uh-huh.
Thanksgiving.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Remember, way back when I first started to remember those, that was during the Depression.
Sure.
You didn't get too many gifts at Christmas. You got a big meal. And by the way, Jacob Kindleberger, for many years, gave out a bushel basket full of fruit to employees.
Did he?
At Christmas time. So everybody could have something to eat. Those big, red, delicious apples. And the beautiful green grapes, mm-hmm.
Yes.
That was a very nice thing. He always did many things to help the employees. That's how I remember this gentleman.
Were there parades? Parades then?
Remember parades in Parchment, no.
Okay. When and how did you meet your wife?
Okay, during World War II, they used to have USOs and all that type of stuff, and they used to have what was called a canteen down by, Westnage and West Maine, I believe it is, West Michigan, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they had a dance up there one night, and I went up there and so forth, and it was very nice, and I met her, and that's the way life went.
Yeah.
And I married her, and I was married to her for 53 years.
53 years. Okay. If we can, what was your profession in your life, John? What did you do?
Well, I'll tell you what I did here. When I got out of the Navy the first time, I wanted to work on airplanes. And to go along with that, about 1946, 47 in that area, I started flying Aronica Champs out of old Western Michigan Flying Service on Portage. And there was an intelligent gentleman there called Harold Chatterton, and another man that would check me out called Mr. Shikoski. And with that in mind, one day I talked to Harold and how much money was making. I was going to Western also at the time, and I was working part-time for the Ford dealer. And when we talked about money, I liked the money from the local Ford dealer much better than I liked it from going and getting, at that time it was called an A&E license. I got the license but I never worked on airplanes. I was a good mechanic and so forth, and I still love airplanes and everything about it. And when I went to Tucson, I made my wife and my one daughter get a private flying license. My other daughter was going to Arizona State. We would rent a Cessna, a 172, and fly up there for a cup of coffee, the most expensive coffee in the United States, I'll tell you. Renting an airplane to get coffee at Sky Harbor in Phoenix.
For heaven's sake. So you did not work on airplanes for a living?
No, I never did that.
What did you do?
Okay, I stayed with the Ford in the parts department. I went back in the service in 1951. I was in the Navy twice. And with that in mind, when I came back, the new dealer in town, his name was Tom Cronley, and he made me parts manager, and I stayed until I got tired of the winters in the Kalamazoo area. We lived at a place called Gull Lake, and I had my daughter that's with me right today learn to water ski around the island at the age of 7. And we had both a Chris Craft and with an inboard with a big engine, and I had a Sentry with a huge dual carburation. Oh. My wife would pull 5 of us skiers at one time around the island at Gull Lake. I loved it. But what really gets to me, I had a hard time selling that place. I asked $36,000 when I went to Tucson. I got $26,000 a year and a half later because the man worked for Upjohns, and Upjohn Pharmaceutical basically would finance it for him. It sold last year, I understand, for $950,000.
Oh, mercy.
Mercy is the
mercy.
Word.
What year did you sell that house to?
1963. We moved out in 62. And I went to, in Tucson, I went to work for, there was only one large Ford dealer there called Mr. Tuttle. And he was always in politics and everything. But when you sold a new automobile, a Ford dealer, he not only sold them, he financed them and sold them insurance. And then along the line, he wanted something else to do. He had many dealerships in the West, including Beverly Hills, Lincoln Mercury, and all that other. But he had a good friend. His name was Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan needed money to run for governor. He financed him to run for governor of California and got him money to run for president of the United States of America.
So your dad was politically involved.
The man, Holmes Tuttle, that I worked for, heavily involved politically along the line. He would come in at different times and say, guess what I did yesterday, John? I said, I don't know. He says, I played golf with Ike. Who? You know Eisenhower.
Really?
And yes, he was heavy involved in Republican politics and so forth.
Yes. And when did you retire?
It went like this. I stayed there for a while, but I started buying a lot of apartments in Tucson area. And I stayed at the Ford dealership for quite a few years. During that time, I had 75 apartments. I peaked out at 95 at one time, but I was working 2 jobs. I ran the parts department and had 350 tenants to 400 tenants, depending on what the month was. And I got tired, so I left the dealership and ran my apartments. I retired when I was 76 years old. But the people that I trained, there were 2 of them that I trained that came out very well, and they still, this dealer now has Mr. Tuttle and Mr. Click together. They have many dealerships in California and all over, and the dealer likes me well enough that he's going to fly me back this year, F-R-E-E, to watch Western Michigan Homecoming on the 2nd of October. And he rents the car, I buy the meals, we stop at McDonald's. I'm lying to you. But anyway, I like what I do at my antiquated age.
And how old are you, if I may ask?
1927, if you can figure that out.
Okay.
That goes along the line.
I'm sure our listeners will be able to figure that out.
And to do many things in Tucson, this dealer has financed me, and I have been doing the parades for everything for about 35 years. I do the parade at the University of Arizona for many years, and one of the most distinguished individuals I ever took in my car at that time, and I still have it, is a new 1959 pink Edsel convertible with a Continental kit, and The man I took was Peter Smith. You probably never heard, but he invented an automobile called the Phoenix that landed on Mars and dug it up. A couple years ago, it was on television, and it was digging up Mars. And I liked him. He was abnormally intelligent, and it took him 34 years to get a PhD. He just got one a couple years ago. But I do all parades. I have them lined up for this year right now. And this is, in December, I do two parades on one day, the Christmas parades in one city, in the city of Tucson. But I also have, I used to have a dozen cars when my wife was alive, but I only have four now. I have all the Skyliners. That's the hardtop convertible.
Yeah.
And I'm driving a 1959 now that's got 22,000 miles on it.
You are enjoying yourself.
I enjoy what I do, and those people at the dealership still like me well enough. And by the way, about 2 months ago, my daughters came from Phoenix area, Chandler, and so forth, to buy new vehicles from this dealership. Mm-hmm. My next-door neighbor, who was at the 9/11, he was a fireman in New York when that happened.
He
yelled over and he said, "John, I want a new Dodge pickup." Well, this dealer has Dodge dealerships, Ford dealerships. So within an hour, we had sold him a new Dodge pickup. And my other friend I sold my apartments to, he also sold his dad one. So within about an hour and a half, we sold a couple $100,000 worth of pickups, and
yes.
I went into the parts department. I know everybody, and I had a beautiful shirt made in Honolulu, and it was all automobiles. I called them up, and I said, "Hey, I want you to charge something to advertising. What is that?" "This shirt I got on right now." And
you're having fun.
I like what I do, and when you become antiquated, you should like what you do.
That's true. We're getting close to wrapping up here.
I have one more second I want to extend with automobiles.
Go right ahead.
I had a big man one day who was the leading custodian off of I-94 in a place called the University of Michigan that seats 110,000 people at its peak. And he was the grand marshal in a parade in Tucson. And I have a retractable that was sold by Don Seeley when Don Seeley was sales manager and I was parts manager at the Tom Cronley Ford dealership on Portage. His name was Bo Schenbeckler. He was the number one coach ever for the University of Michigan.
Was.
And I said to him, "I used to go to Detroit and watch Michigan at Michigan and Trumbull and watch Howard Hopalong Cassidy." He looked at me and he put his elbow in my stomach and said, "I was an assistant to Woody Hayes at that time. I taught him how to run, John." And last week I got a call. Tom Cronley was a Ford dealer in this town for about 9 years. He died in 1959. And his son called me up and said, "John, I will be in Tucson. I would like to see you." His name was John Cronley after all of these years.
Yeah.
And he went to Notre Dame, and I always have to joke with him. He only graduated cum laude. One person at Notre Dame was smarter than he was. And so when he calls me up, but he works for an organization that tells people how to certify cars and so forth. Mm-hmm. We've been very good friends for all these years, just like Mr. Seeley was before he retired from planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's my life up to this point.
Okay. What would you like people to remember most about Parchment?
The number one thing, Parchment was an organization, I say the city, but an organization where all the people at when I was here would help each other out if they had a problem. Even to the extent, years ago it used to snow in Parchment, and if your next door neighbor got stuck, you'd go over there and help him get out. Right. They worked closely together. Not only the main part was paper and parchment years ago, but the people got along good together with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big thing in this world, the way it's turning out to be.
Right. It is. It is. Let me ask you the last question. What do you consider a successful life, and how has Parchment affected that?
As I just said, when I was young, people worked together, and I think in a marriage, people have to work together. And I have my daughter, Julie, sitting beside me right now. She comes with me, or my other daughter, Kathy's come down a couple times from Phoenix area to Parchment and Kalamazoo. But Julie comes here about every year with me. We come together like a vacation, and it's just, you just work together and keep friendship. And one of the things, if you have a problem, you solve it. Don't just grind an axe. Get it solved that very same day. And that is it.
Thank you so much. I am sure that people are going to love to hear your recollections. And I can tell from just talking with you how much fun you had doing this.
I want to thank you. I won't pick the check up today, so you can let it go.
Thanks, John.
Yes, I gave a great deal of thought before this happened. And did I yes or no show her
no,
the Bible?
No, you showed the other.
Okay, I will show you what Jacob Kindleberger gave me in 1935.
I'm going to leave this on. I'll leave this on.
Jacob Kindleberger gave me the New Testament
in
1935. The one page is gone, but this is what he would write on it right here.
Oh, you have an inscription. I'm going to read it. I'm
just
going to read it,
sure.
If I may.
Sure.
John Albee from Parchment Union.
Yes.
And what is that? Do you know, Junior?
Yeah,
maybe you should read it. Maybe
okay,
you should read
it. Okay, just says John Albee from Parchment Union Methodist Church.
Oh, sure.
And Sunday School, Easter Sunday, April 21st, 1935. And down here it has a scripture written also, but this was given to me by Jacob Kindleberger way back at that time. He also had it, if you attended Sunday school, church, and so forth, you would get what was called a special pin right here that you could put on your lapel and show them that you went to Parchment. And that is what I got. And
Parchment
I went there
Methodist.
For,
this says third year, fourth year, fifth year.
Yeah, but that's the way they finally came up.
Uh-huh.
When it first started way back in kindergarten, they didn't have them. They did them later on in life.
I see.
And this is what I got. But I went for 12 years without missing a Sunday, going to church and Sunday school.
I see.
And in 1945, when I graduated from high school, that
yes.
was, you know, the whole time. But
right.
anyway, I thought you'd like
right.
to see that. You haven't seen a pin like this
Thank you.
This day.
No, I haven't.
Thank you.
Thank you.